It's good to be here tonight. I've been an independent fundamental Baptist since 56. Long time. I really didn't know much about Baptists. I was raised in a Methodist church and got religion, but I didn't get saved. And then I was Southern Baptist, and they didn't teach anything. And I got in a fundamental Baptist church by accident, somebody said. But I think God had a plan in it. And God saved us. And I've been preaching about 30-something years, and I'm glad to be here tonight. I tell you, it's good to hear the testimony of this church and what God's doing and how God's been faithful in building the work here, and I thank God for it. I appreciate the way that you've taken our daughter and son-in-law and grandson in. Of course, David's he's back home, but I appreciate the good testimony that they give. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. While you're finding it, let me say that as a Christian, you better be careful what you do, where you go, and what you say. Brother Mosier tonight, he came in, and I had heard him teach the Sunday school lesson a time or two, and I appreciated his teaching, and I said, I've been checking up on you. And he looked a little astonished, and I said, you went to Faith Baptist Sunday morning, didn't you? He said, yes, I did. Of course, that wasn't in town here. That's down in Jackson, Tennessee. And I said, it's a small world. I preached Sunday morning. We started driving this way, and we stopped. You know, one in that town, but we picked out that church to go to, and they had signed the register Sunday morning that they were there in church. And it's a good testimony to know that folks don't lay out of church. Did you know it? Amen. Check up on them, preacher. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I'd like to direct our attention tonight to verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Would you pray with us, Father? We thank you now for the reading of your word. And Father, tonight we stand in need to hear from heaven. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd give the message that's needed for this hour. Lord, I pray for your power upon your word tonight. Lord, I pray you'd seal our lips against anything that ought not to be said. And Lord, give us boldness to say exactly that which is pleasing unto you. I pray you'd open the hearts and ears of your people tonight. And Lord, teach us from your word. Have your way in this service. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in the lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray and ask it all. Amen. I'd like to use that verse tonight, verse 7, as our text, and give you a little story to start the message off to get the real meaning. Two young folks were standing watching Old Faithful go off. You know what Old Faithful is. And being two 13-year-olds, they had all the answers and all the questions. And one said to the other, after they'd stood and watched it erupt and it'd go down and then water'd come back up and steam. And one said to the other, "Now, I want to know what makes that work like that." And the other with a real deep answer said, "That's just the way it works." And I want to use that as a text tonight. That's just the way it works. In verse 1, we see the scripture talking about a sinning brother. Verse 2 through 5, we find a burdened brother. Verse 6, and I want to begin with that verse tonight. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now let's dissect that just a moment and look at it. Him that's taught in the word. Would it be fair to say that that's the folks in the pew? Am I right? Him that's taught. That's the one, the hearer, the folks that are listening. "Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." The teacher or the pastor. So let him that's taught in the word communicate. Now, a definition of that scripture or that word means let him share with him. So the one that's taught, the folks in the pew, share with him that teacheth in all good things. Now, that simply means that you're to take care of the preacher. I know you do that around here, but there's some places that doesn't happen. Some places the preacher has to work and the circumstances, and we won't worry about that. But he's simply saying, be not deceived then. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now don't ask me tonight to explain all that. That's just the way it works. Now, I want to begin first of all with the law of sowing. Have to sow something. The law of sowing. If you want something, you folks that farm and raise a garden, if you want to gather peas, you plant peas, don't you? If you want tomatoes, you plant tomatoes, right? All right, the law of sowing and reaping. He said, be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a law in effect. If you go out and sow corn, you can look for corn to come up. If you sow wheat or whatever, then that's what you look at to come up. You don't look for it to change in the ground. That's called the law of sameness. In other words, you'll get the same kind of fruit that you sow the seed. Whatsoever a man sow. Now, we use the law of sameness in our gardening and in our farming. But many times we don't use that law in our spiritual life. If you reap what you sow, if you sow bitterness, what will you reap? Help me out a little. I know some of y'all talk. If you sow bitterness,
you'll reap bitterness, won't you? If you sow love and you reap what you sow, what will you get back? Love. If you sow discord, it'll be discord. So he's simply saying, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever the law of sameness, you'll get the same thing that you sow. If you sow stinginess, is that a good Tennessee word? If you sow stinginess, what will you reap? Now, help me out. Let's go to the book of Genesis, and I want to just give you a verse or two there in Genesis chapter 1. And this law's been in effect all along, that the first mentioned and all that. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible said here, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Look at verse 11. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so, yielding after its kind." Look at verse 21. "And God created great whales and ever living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good," after their kind, after his kind. Look at verse 24. "And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and the beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so, after their kind." Verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Now, don't ask me how to explain that. That's just the way it works. A cow brings forth a calf that makes a cow. A dog brings forth a puppy that makes a dog. I mean, after their kind. Now, we see the law of sowing, the law of sameness, and then we see the law of season. Now, every one of you put the law of season to effect when you sow or when you plant your garden. Can you imagine planting your corn today and running out there tomorrow and say, "Well, I don't see any ears on the stalk"? You'd say, "Preacher, that's dumb." It would be, wouldn't it? But it's not near as dumb as so spiritual it and expect not to expect a season in spiritual sowing as well as in sowing the seed in the garden. Now look what he says. He said in verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There's a lot of folks so spiritually, and then they faint and fall by the wayside before the seed yield that fruit. So sad. It'd be like planting your garden, working real hard, and getting it all plowed up and bedded up, and then streak out the rows and get all the seed in the ground, and next week go out there and say, "Just like I expected, I can't get to the thing," and go down the road a little ways and plant another and do the same thing. That's the way a lot of folks do spiritually. They think, he said, "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." You get that? That's the law of season. In due season. Now, you bus workers, you know a lot about that. You make 2 or 3 hours visits. I had a bus worker down in Louisiana, when I first met David, Brother Weston, if he didn't visit 8 hours on Saturday, he thought he was backslid. But he'd always have the most on his bus. He said, "Preacher, I don't get all that I visit this Saturday, but I get some, and I get some that I visited last Saturday." You see what he's talking about? That season. Same way with sowing the gospel, planting the seed. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, what I'm simply saying is God doesn't pay off every Friday evening in our spiritual service. There's a season. And he said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Then there's the law of the seed. Say, what in the world is the law of the seed? A seed always brings forth more than just the seed itself. If it didn't, you'd be out of business pretty quick. If you just took one little corn seed out there and planted it in the ground, and when it come up, there's just one little corn seed on that stalk, it wouldn't take long for you to go out of business. But they tell me that a grain of corn that's properly taken care of, planted and plowed and watered and fertilized, that it'll bring back about 3,000 grains. That's the law of seed. Now, how does that work spiritually? That just simply means you get back more than you sow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn there if you would. Let's look at the scripture. In verse number 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Do you get that? "Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." The law of seed. You get back more than you sow. Now, I've seen folks that sowed their wild oats. You know what I'm talking about? Young folks, you listen. You reap what you sow. I hear a lot of parents come into my office, and I'm sure your pastor has, and they come in praying for a crop failure. "Oh, I don't want to reap what I sowed in my kids." You ought to listen, young folks. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Notice what it says. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, I shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Look at verse there in 2 Corinthians, look at verse number 8. He said, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God will meet your requirement. He'll go above that. As it's written, verse 9, "He that dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." Look at verse 10. "Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both ministered bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Don't ask me to explain it. That's just the way it works. You reap what you sow. And you reap into proportion that you sow. The law of seed. Then I want you to see the law of stewardship in our text in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Did you know tonight that there's a lot of false doctrine and there's folks that don't have the truth? Yet because of kindness and doing good to others, they influence a lot of folks by their lives, and they influence them for the wrong and not the right. But we that are independent, fundamental, narrow word of literature Baptists, we get so doctrinally straight sometimes that we're so hard-hearted and just as straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. Amen? I mean, we get in such a hurry to be on time for Sunday school, and I believe you ought to be on time. I believe, teachers, you ought to be here before Sunday school starts, and I'm sure the preacher's already preached on that. But so many times we want to get it all just exactly right. Somebody's broken down on the side of the road, and we don't have time to stop and give them a helping hand. Well, why you reckon they broke down right in your path? Don't you reckon God was just giving you an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody? We get so engrossed in what we're doing that we forget that we're stewards, that we're ambassadors for Christ, and that we need to run with patience this race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we have opportunity. Isn't that what he says? Let us do good unto all men. You make your Greek study of that word all. You know what it means? It means A-L-L, all. Red or yellow, black or white, they're precious in his sight. You see, it's all. Do good to all men. Especially, now notice, unto them who are of the household of faith. Our brothers in Christ, they get a special blessing. You see, if we begin to put others first, put God first, others second, ourselves third, there'll be peace and happiness in our life. Don't ask them to explain it. That's just the way it works. He said in our text, and I want you to look at that in verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now that word's just as true tonight as John 3:16 is. Let me ask you in closing tonight. What kind of seed did you sow today? What kind of seed did you sow at home? I know you don't have any of these kind of folks up here, preacher, but down in Arkansas, we've got those folks that if you're following them down the road, they're just, yeah. I mean, they're going to church. And they're just fussing and fighting among one another till they drive up on the parking lot. Something about the church parking lot. I mean, they stop the fussing. They put on a big smile. They open the door and they get out and they walk in and said, "Good morning, Pastor." Y'all didn't do like that today, did you? What have you sown? Now, if you're planting your garden, and I walked up, and the preacher walked up and said, "What are you planting?" "Well, I'm putting some cucumbers here and some squash over here." And you'd go into detail. Isn't it more important in our spiritual life what we plant than it is in what we put in our garden? If you're going to reap what you sow. Young person, What did you sow at school today? Did you sow kindness? Did you sow love? Or did you sow jealousy and fussing, feuding? You see, this is a biblical principle. I mean, you're going to reap what you sow. Somebody said, well, I just don't have any friends. What does the Bible say about that? He that showeth himself friendly? Huh? I mean, you're going to reap what you sow. You tell me your problem tonight, and I'll tell you what you've been sowing. Well, nobody loves me. You know what that tells me? You've not been loving anybody in the Lord. I mean, be not deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever. That's a big old word, isn't it? Whatsoever. That includes the whole spectrum. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Men, what did you sow at work today? Now, I know in essence that we ought to sow love and we ought to sow the seed, the Word of God. But in our everyday life, we're going to reap what we sow. Kindness. Simply just make up your mind tonight how you want other folks to treat you, and you treat other folks that way, and didn't God say you'd reap what you sow? Preacher didn't say that. God said that. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did you know the problem with America tonight? Verse number 8, for he that soweth to his flesh. America is sowing to the flesh. He said, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I believe there's folks here tonight. Your pastor's encouraged and challenged you for a great day Sunday. And you say, preacher, I'm just wore to a frazzle. I just don't think we can do it. That next verse, let us not be weary in well doing. Is it well doing? It's what you're doing pleasing to the Lord. I mean, working on a bus route, being a secretary, working with the young folks, is that well doing? Don't be weary in well doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. We all like the harvest time. I'd like a lot rather go out and pick those big old tomatoes, take me a salt shaker out there and right in the field and in the garden and eat it. It's go through all the plowing and pruning. Do y'all know what pruning is? Some of you don't. You see, I was raised on a farm. We had as many as 8 acres of tomatoes in 1 year. Now, 8 acres of tomatoes is a lot of tomatoes. I mean, it seemed to me like those rows were a mile long. I know they weren't quite that long. But if you was bending over pruning, do y'all know what pruning is? That's breaking off every little sucker and the little sprout that comes out over the top of the limb. We had to prune everything through the second cluster. I'd whole lot rather eat that tomato. It's go through all of that, but you had to go through all that to get the tomato because you're going to reap what you sow. I see some young folks over here. No doubt they love the Lord. And folks, that's not by accident. That's because somebody is reaping. A dad and a mom is reaping what they sowed. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap
if we faint not. That's just the way it happens. That's just the way it works. Don't ask me to explain it. God said it, and that settles it. Get on the far line. Don't quit. I think of Dr. R.G. Lee. Somebody said, "Dr. Lee, are you going to retire?" That's before he went home. He said, "Retire, nothing." He said, "I'm going to try to refire." He wasn't but 80-something then. Huh? We've got a good group of senior citizens, and we call them golden age in our church. And I keep admonishing them that there's no place in this Bible that says you're to retire spiritually. You're to run with patience the race that's set before you. You're to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're to set your affection on things above. In the golden years of your life, when you don't have to fight a clock and from 8 to 12 work all that hard time, you've got time to really serve God. Don't waste those years. Realizing that you're going to reap if you faint not. God bless you. Thank you, preacher.
All I can say to that message is amen. That was so true.